There's something really notable that somebody, when I said I was going to interview you today, he's young, and he says, hey, I remember the broom campaign.
Yes.
The Boren Broom Brigade. And that was started with your cousin Jim,
My cousin Jim, the humorist, the one who started the National Association of Professional Bureaucrats to make fun of bureaucrats and bureaucratic ways. He loved history. He remembered that when they ran against the Prendergast machine in Kansas City years ago, that the people carried brooms to try to get rid of the machine. We were into the campaign, and he suggested two things to me. I was doing okay, but not well. I mean, I started out way behind. I was definitely running third. I was going to have to get struck by lightning to win some way or another. So he said, well, why don't you take the broom as your symbol? And he said, you won't have to say anything negative about the governor and these investigations and all this. Just carry the broom. It's time to clean up Oklahoma. Everyone knows what a broom's for. And I never did make personal attacks on the governor, but I said it was time to clean up Oklahoma. And I even had a song that the Wilburn brothers sang for me that my Aunt May, Roadheart Rakotel, wrote for me. And went all around with soundtracks. Let's clean up Oklahoma. Boren is our man. And he said, take that broom as your symbol. Everyone knows what it is. And you don't have to say ugly things. And then he said, you ought to start walking from town to town. And Lawton Childs had won the senator's race in Florida at that time, and he was known as Walking Lawton. And he said, that worked for him. Why don't you call him up? I didn't know him at the time, of course. Later served with him in the Senate. But I said, I'm just curious. He said, I'll send you diaries I kept as I walked across Florida. He said it was the most beneficial thing I ever did. He said, I got all this free publicity that I couldn't afford to pay for. I was on every nightly news with me walking along the road. But he said, also, I stayed with different people. I talked to all these people along the way. I learned what was on the minds of people. I knew what they really cared about. I really, really came to know the people so well, what they wanted. And he said, it's worth doing. So I said, oh, my gosh. At first, I said, I just don't want to be governor to make myself so foolish as to walk from town to town with a broom. But, you know, as time wore along and the polls hadn't moved very much, I found I did want to be governor bad enough to take the broom and walk from town to town. So I did, and it was an incredible experience. There's still people I can remember. I'd drive down certain highways in Oklahoma. I walked from Broken Bow to Ida Bell. I walked up in the Miami area up when Pitcher was still a going community, and out west and all over different segments. I got in every media market and television market, so I could get on all the stations walking from town to town, and I had the broom, and then I had broom rallies. My final on the night before the election, I held a broom rally on the steps of the state capitol building with all my supporters. And my cousin said, well, let's just have everybody there carry a broom with a Boren sign on it. Dr. Cross went and carried a broom. Always loving for that. You know, he never got into politics, ever. But he carried a broom and went to the broom rally. They had the picture in the paper of Dr. Cross, president of OU, with his broom. And I arrived on a street sweeper with my Wilburn Brothers song blaring out. Now, this was the ultimate, a big old street sweeper. You talk about corny in the nth degree, but it absolutely caught on. People did know what the broom was. And, you know, what happened is during the primary, Clem X. Batten said some pretty strong things about Governor Hall. He said some pretty difficult things. I didn't. I just had the broom. I just said, everyone knows what the broom's for. We've got to clean up Oklahoma. And so when it came to the runoff, Hall came in third. I'd never said anything about him. The other candidate said some things about him. And the Hall supporters said, well, we're going to vote for you. You weren't mean to the governor. So it all worked out.
Well, that was in the primary, of course. And McSpadden had 13,000 more votes than you.
Yes.
And then, of course, as you said, Hall trails and is defeated. And then you defeat McSpadden by a difference of 37,000 votes.
Yes. It was a hard race. I tell you, it was a really hard race. We did it the old-fashioned way. We went from town to town, and we had loudspeakers, and we handed out leaflets, and we didn't just sit in the TV studio or do direct mail. It was retailing.
Then in the general election, you faced Republican Jim Inhofe.
Right.
And you've alluded to that already. I've interviewed him, too. He says both of you said nice things about each other.
We did.
And probably didn't think that Hall was going to lose. And then this kind of backfired on him.
Yeah, Jim said, I'm never going to say anything nice about my opponents again, because here's what happened. He and I had known each other, and we'd been in the House together. We'd sponsored a lot of bills together, even especially on open government, kind of reform-type bills we had sponsored together. So he kept saying, if the Democrats were smart enough to nominate my friend David Boren, I wouldn't even be running. knowing all the while that I would not win, and that when it was over, my supporters would switch over to him and vote for him against the Democrat in November. Well, lo and behold, I win the nomination. So we hired a guy who came to the first press conference where Jim was. It had one of those sort of Eat It Joe's signs, you know, on the front and back, and it had all these headlines from the papers. I wouldn't run if Democrats nominated Warren. Someone, I've forgotten who it was, which member of the press we strongly suggested to them that they should ask was Jim Inhofe there to announce his withdrawal, because he had said if the Democrats were smart enough to nominate me, he wouldn't run. The planted question got asked. I'll never forget it. I was watching it, I think, on television. Jim got a little flustered, and he said, well, so then the reporter said, well, what do you have to say about your friend David Boren now? And Jim said, he's changed. It just pains me to say all the things he had to do to get that Democratic nomination. He's just a changed man. We had a really good laugh about that, as I said, when we got together recently. And we do talk often. We had a good laugh about that. In his later races, he said, I've learned the lesson. I'm never going to say anything nice about one of my opponents.
Well, you won in a landslide. You received 64% of the more than 800,000 votes. It was a new record in Oklahoma gubernatorial elections.
You know, one elections later, I broke a national record in a U.S. Senate race the last time I ran for the Senate. Nothing's ever as exciting as when it happens to you the first time. And when you start as such an underdog, you know, it touched me. I literally shed tears over it. It meant so much to me.